human condition right there. I just heard a conversation. I'm burning up. I'm cold. Four aisles apart. And so we're just all different, aren't we? Well, I'm glad that you're here this morning. I trust that you had a good week, and I'm glad that you're in a Sunday school this morning. We're going to be over in Genesis chapter 24 this time. Genesis 24, and this is a continuation. And if you were here Sunday night, you heard Brother Stacy talk about when we're obedient to the Lord, when we're in His will, it quite possibly, and it will affect others. And so that's the kind of the thought that I have this morning from Genesis 24. Last week when we were in Genesis 23, we saw how Abraham at this point, his name changed from Abram to Abraham in chapter 23. And so we saw him go to Hebron, and we talked about how that was more than just a physical location in his life. He went there every time he wanted to get back to the Lord. He went there every time he wanted to seek forgiveness for something in his life. And, you know, he had had a few instances where he had to seek forgiveness. We talked about that. Called by God way back in chapter 12, and it took all the way to chapter 23 or thereabouts before he became to a place in his life where he trusted God completely. And so he was obedient, and we saw that he was 137 years old, and his wife passed away, and he wanted to bury her in the place that God had said would be someday his land, because he wanted his life to get in the direction of God's will. And man, that's a great example for me and you. Now, we don't always know a physical location of where we need to be. That's sometimes hard to figure out. But we know God's will as far as so many different things in God's Word. So what we do is we put ourselves in those places that we do know about. And we don't abandon any of that. Abraham wanted to be in God's path. He wanted to be in God's will. It was important to him. So we see some of that this morning in chapter 24. Now this point in his life, it's 3 years later, he's 140 years old, and he's heard God talk about great generations coming after him, and yet Isaac has no wife, so I think Abraham's looking, which they did back then, he's looking to help his son get married, and he knew, being at this point in his life, Abraham being in Hebron, knew it was absolutely important for his son to be in the right place as well. And so he sets forth these events that go into motion to help make this happen. Now, that's a very powerful principle right there. The writer of Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Abraham realized how important it was to get in the path of God's will. When we trust God in all of our ways, He'll be able to talk to us. He'll be able to use us. And when we place ourselves in His way, our work, our efforts will be blessed by Him and have everlasting consequences. So let's read Genesis chapter 24, verse number 1. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." Now, about this servant real quick. We've seen a few things about his servant Eleazar, and most agree that this is probably who it was, who by this time would be about 85 years of old, and he had risen to a kind of a position of chief of staff, if you will, in Abraham's home. He took care of everything. He had substantial authority, as we see in these verses. And so Abraham places such a huge responsibility to Eleazar, and one of the things that he asked him to do is do a pledge, or in this case, he said, "I want you to put your hand under my thigh." So he is expecting this. Eleazar has been a loyal servant to him for so long, and he no doubt trusts him, and he's faithfully served the family. But here he's asking that Eleazar pledge himself to help him out in finding a wife for Isaac. Now, before we go on, I want to just, sometimes you read God's word, and that thought this week got me. Abraham could trust Eleazar. He knew him. And we find in this chapter that Eleazar, can't even say it, Eleazar was a man of God. He worshiped God. When God answered prayers in Abraham's life, he thanked God for being kind and good to his master. And so it led me to write down some things. And, you know, greatness in the man of God, that is that man who or woman who is faithful to trust God with his entire life, it will influence others to do the same. Was that too many words? Can somebody say amen? True faithfulness as a man of God, as a woman of God, will be contagious. We saw that. Thank you, Stacy, for that message Sunday night. That was good. In that case, the Apostle Paul's obedience to the Lord and the Apostle Paul's following God's will was a great litmus test or an example, if you will, to Timothy and to Peter and so many in the New Testament. When we're faithful to do God's bidding, now we don't want to do it for the cause of others or to be seen of others, but the result will be we're all human, and when we do right, when we follow the Lord's leading, He will bless that and others will follow. So verse 3 continues and it says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now, later in time, Moses gives the children of Israel some rules later. And the rules were this. You weren't to marry outside of God's family. Outside of the children of Israel. But that was given later. So I thought, how did Abraham know to do this? Because it hadn't been written yet. And you know what my conclusion was? He was in Hebron. He was in Hebron. He was praying to God. He was at that point in his life where God was speaking to him and blessing him. And one of the first things he realized he needed to do is follow God's wishes. Well, how did he know God's wishes? Because he was praying to God and God was talking to him. And he knew that his family needed to be separate from the pagans that surrounded them. In the world, but not a part of the world, just like we have to live. And so there was a sensitivity there in Abraham's mind and in Abraham's heart to do the thing that pleased God. Not the thing that he could do to stay in the world and yet please God a little bit, but the thing that would please the Lord, because he was in Hebron. And verse 4 continues, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, or perhaps, is what that means, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and into which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now I believe Abraham was so in tune to God's leading. I believe that Abraham at this point in his life was so in tune to God's directing his life that he knew he needed not only to get a wife from back home. Now mind you, that was a custom too. It was a custom to get, for a mom and a dad to marry off their kids and to select the spouse. Man, for the past 2 or 3 years, I've been trying to select Landon's wife, and he will not let me. He will not listen. But it's what they did back then. And so He wants to make sure Isaac gets the right woman. He wants to make sure God is honored in this situation. And he continues in verse 8 and says, "And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again." Now this is a big deal. To go from Hebron back all the way to where home was, Mesopotamia, 450 miles. And that's not in a car. That's 450 miles by camel or foot or whatever they had. It's a long ways. This is a big deal. This is a big trip. 450 miles one way. And he says, "I want you to do this, and God's in charge of this thing, and God's going to make it happen." That's what Abraham's whole tenor here is in this chapter. Why worry about this? God set this in motion, and God's made it happen, and this is what's going to happen. And so in verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Now, if you're wondering what the loins was all about, well, you know, the loins is like the source of procreation. And back then, there was a signal of solemnity or consecration or dedication that something's going to be done, commitment, by placing the hand at that spot. And that's what Eliezer was asked to do by Abraham as a sign that he would do it in its entirety, in its completion. And the servant, in verse 10, took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." There's the first instance we see where Eleazar prayed. Now, let's not get lost in, you know, I tend to be wordy, so I'm going to review for my own sake here. What I'm trying to bring out is Abraham was obedient to God. And because of Abraham's obedience to God, that was contagious. And we're going to see it in the life of Eleazar. We're going to see it in the life of Isaac. And we're going to see it in Rebekah. And I'm going to take it as far as Rebekah's family here in just a minute. Okay? And so he makes his camels kneel down by the water, and he prays to God, and he's telling God that I know you've been faithful to my master. He's showing God that he appreciates that, and that he knows that God will be faithful to him. Then he says in verse 13, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw the water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also, let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So the servant prayed, and he prayed to God, and he showed God thankfulness for what he had done for Abraham, and then he sit back and let it happen. This is a very patient individual. But more than that, I think this is an individual who has had a good example in his master of how to pray and be grateful for God's abundance and kindness in his life, and then sit back and let it happen. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her picture upon her shoulder. And the damsel was fair, very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels." Now, I thought this was something here. Okay, they tell us, I don't know this, but they tell us that a camel, when he's thirsty, can drink as many as 25 gallons of water. He's got 10 camels. This young lady is a servant. That's hard work. That's hard work. This is a stranger, and it was customary to give drink to the person when in need, but she's doing it for his camels. Tell me this is not ordained of by God. God is making this whole thing work. Obedience is a wonderful thing because it makes God do things in our life that we never thought would be possible. So she starts feeding the camels, and verse 21 says, and the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He's sitting back looking at this, saying, well, this is an awful nice young lady, and she's got a servant's heart. But he held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Like I said, he's a patient man. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head. And what's it say? He worshiped the Lord. Sometimes, after God's goodness to us, we forget to do that. Sometimes we forget to bow our head and worship the Lord when things go our way. And he says in verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So he's testifying to God's goodness to his master Abraham. And I love that phrase right there. Oh, entire sermons have been prepared on these five words. I, being in the way. That's where Eleazar was. He was in God's way. And he was in God's way because Abraham was in God's way, because he was in Hebron, and because his heart was so in tune to God that God was leading him to tell Eleazar what to say, and it was happening. Click by click by click by click. And verse 28 continues, and the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out into the man and to the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon the sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came into the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So, there's a lot of words. So, let's review what's happened. Rebekah takes them back home and tells her brother and her father what's happened. And they come out to meet the servant. And he's about to give them a play-by-play description of what's happened up to this point. Now, the family offered to go ahead and feed him, but he said, no, not yet. I'm on a mission. I believe Eleazar was so sensitive to God's leading in this situation that he wanted to either make it happen or leave. That's what I get from this. Excuse me. And he said in verse 34, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and manservants and maidservants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from thy oath. So basically he's describing to the family what's already happened, and he's given a play-by-play. So if you feel like you've been hearing this twice, you are. It's just as the servant is telling the family. And in verse 43, he continues, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. She went down into the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Eliezer had such a conviction that God was going to make this happen, and if it wasn't going to happen with Nahor's family here, Laban's family, with Rebekah, then he was going to get on down the road and God was going to make it happen somewhere else. He believed that it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. So verse 50, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Now remember, Eleazar is back home now. So this family would have known who Abraham was. They would have known more than likely the situation, how Abraham was called by God. And I am surmising that, but I'm just thinking of a small town, like a small region. More than likely they did. And so they were more than willing to say that, hey, this thing's from the Lord. Who are we to say bad or good about what's going to happen? Go ahead and take her. And they say in 51, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. There he goes again. He does not fail to thank God. He takes the time to stop and thank God when God blesses his life, or in this case, the life of his master Abraham. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, and gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. So they're just asking, mom and dad's asking for 10 days to be with their daughter before. That's not unreasonable. But listen, Eleazar is on a mission for God. He believes that God has made this thing happen. And he said, he's basically saying, hey, I'm on this mission. Let me go do this thing for the Lord. I want to be obedient to the Lord. And so in verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, will thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the well of the the way of the well Lahairoi, and for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out in, to meditate in the field at evening or eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is that that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Now that's what they did back in then. They took a bride. A bride would veil her face in the presence of her betrothed until the wedding day. And so she did that. She knew the story. She knew what was going down. And in verse 66, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Now, I know that's a lot of reading. That's a lot of story. But here's the whole issue. And I'll try to be I'll talk slow since I've been reading fast. We saw last week in chapter 23 that Abraham came to this place in his life where he fully trusted God. He had struggled with that on multiple occasions. But in chapter 23, he came to that point in his life, and Sarah did too, where God blessed them. He changed both of their names, and he blessed them. And Abraham responded when Sarah died by wanting her to be buried in the place where God had promised them that they would have as their home. So all that's transpired. And now Sarah's gone, and Isaac is... I guess he would be about 40 years old right now or so. And Abraham's thinking, Isaac has no wife, and he needs a wife, and I'm not going to live forever, and I need to be involved in this thing because we're going to do it God's way. And so he puts out this plan, and who does he have in his household that has seen all of this transpire? Now, if it's the same servant, he has seen Abraham backpedal, lie, sin. We actually don't know if it's the same one, but I'm just saying if it's the same one as a trusted servant, he has seen Abraham do all these things, but he's also seen Abraham come to this point in his life where he's faithful, where he's committed. And no matter where he's been, he's going to do God's bidding because he's at this place in his life. And so Abraham's faithfulness to the Lord in chapter 23 has spread to Eleazar. In chapter 24, Sarah's faithfulness, actually, some of that was attached to Abraham's faithfulness because they were married. No doubt Isaac, as he has been raised in this house, has been affected by his father's obedience to the Lord. No doubt. And now we have Eleazar taking the reins of service here in the family and going and looking for Isaac a wife. And when he comes to this well, he meets Rebekah. And it just seems like God is in charge of everything because this thing just clicks, 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 clicks. Everything just happens like it's supposed to. And so now Rebekah will be affected by the faithfulness of Abraham. And here this family. We know next to nothing about Laban and Bethuel and all this. But we know that they were affected because all of a sudden, because of Abraham's faithfulness to the Lord, they have an opportunity to serve by giving their daughter to Isaac for his wife. One man's faithfulness, one man's call to obedience, one man saying, "God, I don't know what you're going to do, where you're going to send me, what's going to happen, but I want to be in your will." One man's obedience to the Lord affected his wife Sarah, his son Isaac, his servant Eleazar, his future daughter-in-law Rebekah, Rebekah's family. Our obedience and our faithfulness and our discipleship and willing to be trained by God will influence others. And that's something that, you know, and it's a given for parents and grandparents. I mean, we have kiddos watching us and we have young people watching us. But more than that, we'll never know who is silently observing. We never know who will be encouraged to be more faithful to the Lord because, Linda, you didn't give up. Albert, you didn't give up. You were faithful to the Lord. Bam, Pat, and we could just go on and on and on. We don't know. So it behooves us just to be faithful, not because of that, but that's going to be one of the blessings, one of the rewards, if we're faithful to the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you.